Shelley Shepherd Gray is in the studio tonight. We know her well as one of our Cincinnati New York Times bestselling authors of several series of books focusing on Amish life. Tonight, she has a new twist for us. It's a mystery, and it's titled Deception on Sable Hill. Shelley, always good to sit down with you. Welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you so much, Barbara. I'm delighted to be here.
So tell us, what sent you down the mystery genre?
The funny thing happened on my way to wanting to write a historical romance. My editors asked me to think about writing something set during the 1893 Chicago World's Fair. I had intended to write a straight romance. That's what they had been hoped for. But during my research, I started really thinking about the white city that was built and how it was just such a facade for everything that was going on behind the buildings and in the city. I guess I just got inspired to write something a little bit darker. So as always, I took a chance. I wrote a couple of chapters. I wrote an idea, and I sent it in to my editor, half thinking she was going to nix it and say, no, we need to write something different. But she liked it. She thought it was fun. She thought it was different for me, and she thought it was intriguing, and she knew I was invested in it. I kept thinking about my heroine, Eloisa, and so I just went forward from there. It was fun.
Let's let our listeners in on a bit of it. You want to read the first few paragraphs of Deception on Sable Hill?
Oh, I would love to. Don't keep me in the dark for another second, Eloisa, Quentin Gardner teased as they waltzed across the gleaming parquet floor of his family's crowded ballroom. Where have you been? No one has seen you in what seems like ages. You've missed quite a few of the events around the fair. I've been to the same place as you have, she replied, taking care to keep her voice light and steady. Though, to be honest, it would be a wonder if you were able to spy me among this year's debutantes clamoring for your attention. He chuckled. I've hardly been in that demand. The Tribune did just list you as one of the society's most eligible bachelors. She raised an eyebrow, half expecting him to act surprised. Quentin enjoyed pretending he was above such things as society pages. He didn't deny the article. Instead, his cheeks flushed. I was only on that list because of my family's money. And perhaps your good looks, too? She tapped his shoulder lightly with her gloved hand. I've been told that blue eyes and coal black hair are an irresistible combination. You and I both know that article was mere gossip. One that has a shred of truth, though. Even if I was surrounded by a bevy of young ladies, which I was definitely not, I would have noticed if you were in our midst. You have not been out, Miss Carstairs. With effort, she kept her expression impassive. You sound so sure about that. That's because I am. Just as she was formulating a reply, Quentin twirled her around. Then as she chuckled at his exuberance, he eased a bit closer. I've missed your company, Eloisa. What made you decide to suddenly be so elusive? She had a very good reason. A very good reason only a handful of people knew about. It was imperative she kept it that way.
You have alluded to this, that this novel has a historic setting as well as being a mystery. I take it was your editor's idea to use the fair, and that must have involved research for you, yes?
It did. I ended up writing a trilogy of books during the Chicago World's Fair. I guess just because I like Chicago so much, I used it as an opportunity to go to Chicago 3 times. And I went on a fun tour held by the Chicago Historian Museum, and it was called the Devil in White City Tour, and it's an ode to Eric Larson's very famous book, The Devil in White City. And we drove all around on this bus one day in historic parts of Chicago and got out and saw different parks and different buildings that still remained there from the World's Fair. Another time, the Field Museum was doing a whole exhibit on the World's Fair, and I went and visited that and talked to some people about different artifacts that were in different museums. I had a great time just digging and digging and digging into different areas of the World's Fair and Chicago in the 1890s, and also what life must have been like, not only for the upper classes, but for the lower classes as well.
Well, you've also alluded to the fact that this is a romance novel, and Eloisa's lucky. She has more than one guy in her life. So tell us a bit about Quentin and Owen and Sean.
Oh, I would be delighted to. Yeah, my heroine, Eloisa, I wanted to have someone just at the top of society. So she is kind of the most sought-after debutante of the season. And she's beautiful. But she has a lot of admirers, many because of her looks, many because of her family's money, and many just because she seems to be a nice person. When I started plotting this romance, I wanted to have her fall in love with the most unlikely person. And the most unlikely person that I thought would be helpful for her would be a detective named Sean Ryan. He's Irish. He's from the tenements. He doesn't have a lot of education. He's pretty rough around the edges. But she grows to trust him. And that was important to my heroine because she doesn't trust too many people.
Well, there is a dark secret that she has, and we find that out fairly early. But I'm wondering what it's like to balance those two things. You have romance, you have history, and then you have a crime, if you will, that continues to happen today in many places in the world. As a writer, is it important to balance light and dark? Is that important to you?
You know, what I ended up doing is what I basically do with my Amish romances, too. I had a heroine. I had a hero. I had a setting I was intrigued and excited about, and I just wrote. This trilogy of historicals are quite a bit longer than my usual Amish romances. They're a little over 450 pages when all said and done. And I just decided to enjoy the process of writing something bigger, something that took a little bit more out of me. I am a writer that writes a short first draft, and I have to do revision after revision after revision. And that's where a lot of the light and dark and mystery aspects fell into place. After the first draft, I realized mystery is not my forte. And luckily, one of my critique partners, her name is Heather Blake. She writes mysteries for NAL. Mystery is her forte. So she helped me fine tune some things. And then I just kept piling on more details about Chicago. I kept reading more books set in the 1890s. And when I was done, I was pretty proud of this novel.
Well, it's certainly an interesting read. Will there be more? There are two others in this series.
Yes, there are. The first one is called Secrets of Sloane House, and it actually introduces Eloisa at the very end. That novel is kind of like a Downton Abbey meets a Agatha Christie book. There's sisters gone missing. A lady goes into the house as a maid, kind of undercover, and everyone in the house is a suspect, even the butler. So that's the first book in the series. Then the second is Deception on Sable Hill, which is the novel we're talking about today. The third book comes out in November, and it's called Whispers in the Reading Room, and it explores two more people in Chicago society, but both live on the outskirts of it. One is a librarian, kind of a mousy, exceptionally smart woman, and the hero is a gambling club owner who works and lives in kind of the dark slums of Chicago. And somehow they have a connection. And there's a murder in that book also.
It's always good to talk with you. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, I look forward to Whispers in the Reading Room.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Shelley Shepherd Gray about her latest novel. It is titled Deception on Sable Hill, and you'll find more information about it at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.